Okay, after wishing everyone a Shavuot Tov, thank you so much. So we're on Daf Yud, Amud Aleph. Let's see if we can find the place. The Gemara that we're looking at is going to start with the words Olu Badak. So let's see, if we count up from the bottom of the Amud, maybe that's the easiest thing. Or, you know, alternatively, you see a Tosis called Ol. And if you count about five lines below that Tosfos, four lines or so, you'll see a line that starts Sofek Maga. Or if you're going up from the bottom of the Amud, it would be probably about 15 lines up from the bottom. And in the sugya, as you remember, we're going through different cases of Sofek, where we're not sure whether the chametz went into the house after he was bodek the house. We're not sure if the chametz is still there. Maybe it went in, but it was consumed by the creature. And in each case, the Gemara compares it to a law of tumah v'tahara. So, for example, we had the case of Shnei Shvilin, where two people went down two pathways and there was tumah on one of those two pathways, but we're not sure which of the two went down that pathway. And we established that if they come to ask the question together simultaneously, then we have to be metame both of them. So you have an achbar that went into one of two houses, both of which were baduk, and the two people, the two house owners, homeowners, come and ask the question simultaneously. So we have to ask both of them, require both of them to do a bedikah, because it would be absolutely absurd if we chose one over the other, or alternatively if we said that neither of them had to do bedikah. Then we had a case of a bika. So you know that the akbar went into a general area, we'll call it a chatzer, but we're not sure if it went into the house or not. And here the Gemara compares to the case of bika, where We know that the person went into a bika, he went into a general area where there are many different fields, but we're not sure if he went into the field that had tumah in it. And that's where the Gemara comes up with this principle called Safek Bia, which means you don't even know if he went into the place where there's tumah. And in such a case, that even in Rishus HaYachid, we could be Metayer. So too, in the case of an achbar that's holding on to chometz, we're not even sure if it went into the house or not. That's called sofek bia. In that case, you don't have to do bedik. Now, before we start our new sugi for today, I have to point out to you that there's a Rashi here that repeats itself more than once, and Rashi has a general approach over here. And Rashi says the following: that even if you want to be machmir, let's say, for example, in the case of Bika, we have the shita of the Chachamim against Rabbi Eliezer, and the Chachamim say that we have to be metame in the case of Bika. So Rashi says, even the Chachamim would agree that as far as Bedika is concerned, we could be mekil, we could be more lenient, and we're not going to require Bedika. So let me point out that Rashi to you before we start the new sugya, because again it's going to come up in the new sugya as well. Rashi is in two places. The first one that I want to point out to you is Rashi Dibra Maskel Rabbi Yehuda, which is a little bit earlier, a little bit higher up on the page. And it's a very long Rashi. We only need the second half of that Rashi. And I'll just read to you the part of Rashi that's relevant to us. He says, "V'gabi batim nami imbo lishol zeli atzmo v'zebifnei atzmo." So if each one of the homeowners came individually to ask the question whether he has to do another bedika, amrina l'kolcha, we can say to each one of them, "Iatotzarch livdok." You don't have to be bodek. Now keep in mind, Rashi is going to everyone, and l'chora, in the case of tumah, not everyone would agree that we could be metayer everybody, because after we know that one of them is tamei. So Rashi adds, and again, if you happen to own your own Gemara, you want to underline this or highlight this, because as I say, this is a pivotal point. The kevan de bedikas chometz derabanan talinan lekula v'amrinan sveko mutar. Meaning even someone, one opinion, that would take a more strict view and would require tara, meaning we would assume he's tame until he goes to the mikvah, here in Bedikas Chometz, he would admit, that same opinion would admit, that you don't require another Bedikah. And the reason for that is that there's a fundamental distinction between Tumah V'Tara on the one hand and Bedikas Chometz on the other. Whereas Tumah V'Tara is a Da'oraisa, Bedikah is only Durabbanan. And therefore Rashi says, Talinon Lekula, everybody would agree that you could be Mekil. So what this means is that if you take a look at the Gemara that we did on Thursday of Shnei Shvilin, you'll see that the Gemara seems to assume that the issue of Bedika would be dependent upon this machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Or for example, if you take a look at the Gemara of Sufik Al, Sufik Lo'al, where we're not sure if the creature brought the chametz into the house, the Gemara seems to say that depends on a machlokes between Rabbi Lozer and Rabbanan. In the case of Bika, and the Rabbanan say that even though you're not sure that you went into the Sada, which is Sufik Bia, nevertheless you're Tame. Says Rashi, that's a Chumra and Tuma because Tuma is Doraisa, but as far as Bedikas Chametz is concerned, everybody would agree that we could be Mekil. Talinan Lekula. Why is Talinan Lekula? Because we're dealing with Durabbanan. Now, what is that principle called when we say that you could be Mekil in a Durabbanan? Safi Durabbanan Lekula. Okay, everybody knows that. Safi Durabbanan Lekula. So Rashi, consistently, as we'll see it over and over again throughout our sugya, Rashi is going to activate this principle and apply this principle of Safi Durabbanan Lekula. Now, is Bedikas Chametz Durabbanan? Well, let's take a look at the first Rashi in Masechta Pesachim. And I'm teaching this Rashi in my 11:45 class, now that we're going back to the beginning of Pesachim. Rashi says, Bodkim on the second line, Shelo Yavar Olav V'Bal Yirah Bayimotze. Does that sound like a Durabbanan to you? So what's the answer? When is Rashi going to tell me that Bedikas Chometz is Doraisa? When is he going to turn around and say, no, it's Durabbanan, it's Halina Lekula, and any suffering will be Mekil?
We need to do Bedikia.
Excellent. It all depends on whether he did Bittul. If he didn't do Bittul, so Rashi in the Mishnah at the beginning of Pesachim is assuming that there was no Bittul. If there's no Bittul, then the only way he could possibly protect himself from Bali Rabbi Motzi if there's Chometz in his house is through Bedika, which means Hashbasa, which means physically destroying the Chometz. However, in a case like, for example, Rashi here on Daf Yud, where he did Bittul, and therefore he's already protecting himself on a Doraisa level from Bal Yirah Bayimotze, then the requirement of Bedik is only Durabbanan. And as to the question which the Ran addresses at the beginning of the Masechta, why did the Rabbanan require Bedika? Why not just rely on Bittul? If the Torah required relying on Bittul, why didn't the Chachamim do so? And the answer is because Bittul is very subjective, it's very unreliable, it depends on whether he had an absolute sincere conviction and decision that he doesn't want the Chometz, and the Rabbanan didn't want to rely on that. You know, every two people, every other person is a little different. Some people have a sincere, absolute conviction, some people might be a little bit more flighty about it, they don't really decide that they want the Chometz to be like Afra Diara, and therefore the Rabbanan say we're not going to rely on Bittul. But the Torah itself relies on Bittul. So the requirement of Bedika, once he did Bittul, is only the Rabbanan. So Rashi says, if you have any suffix about Bedika, meaning did the animal take the Chometz into the house, did it not take the Chometz into the house, then even the Chachamim, who are Machmir in the case of Bika, and they were Metame a person, even though we don't know if he went into the Sada, which has Tuma in it, nevertheless, they would agree that in Chometz there's no need for repeat Bedika, because in the case of Chometz, since he did Bittul, the only requirement of Bedika is the Rabbanan, and in the case of Sofik Rabbanan, we can be Mekel. Where do the Chachamim require Tahara? Where do they assume that he's Tomei when we have the case of Chacham and Bika? That's only because of a Doraisa. We're dealing with a severe and serious, heavy Isa Doraisa, because if he contracts Tuma and then he touches Truma, we're dealing with an Isa Misa, perhaps, of Truma Tmea. We have to be very careful about that. And the Rabbanan hold that even in a case of Sufik Al, Sufik Lo'al, or Sufik Bia, since we're dealing with the Rishus HaYachid, a son is considered Rishus HaYachid, no one's allowed to go in there during certain times of the year, Therefore, we have to be machmir. But in the case of Bedika, since he did bittel, and we reduced Bedika from a doraisa down to a derabbanan, therefore we apply the principle of talinan lekula, and we're going to say suffik derabbanan lekula. That's Rashi Shita here in this sugya. Now, again, we have to assume that Rashi doesn't have the same exact text of the Gemara that we have, because our text of the Gemara says suffik ol suffik lo hainu bika ubeplug to the rabbalaz and rabbanan. Therefore, the case where you don't know if the animal went into the house with the chametz or not depends upon the machlokas, rabbalaz and rabbanan. Rashi apparently didn't have that girsa in the Gemara. He took it out. And therefore, even according to the Rabbanan and Bika, who are machmer l'inyan tumah, that's only because it's d'oraisa, they would be mekel l'inyan bedika d'Rabbanan. And this is going to be the subject of a Tosis that I'm going to learn in Mirtz Hashem today, Dibra Maskil Ol, because Rashi is going to assume throughout that bedikas chametz is d'Rabbanan, and Tosis is going to try to prove that that's not so. That our Gemara is not operating with the assumption that Bedikas Chametz is Drabbanan and he already did Bittul, but rather all these equations that we have in the Sugya, one after the other, between Bedikas Chametz and Tumah V'Tahara, they're all at a Doraisa level, because Bedikas Chametz is Doraisa if he didn't do Bittul. And therefore, Tosis accepts the Girsa, the text that we have in our Gemara, which says, U'biplukta Drabbalazar V'Rabbanan, which means that according to the Rabbanan, you're going to require another bedika. We're not going to say talina lakula b'derabbanan, because we're going to assume that there was no bittel, and therefore we're dealing with the doraisa. Okay. So we're up to the Gemara of all ubadak velo ashkach. Can you imagine the following? We saw the animal go into the house after bedika with chavitz in its mouth. This is not a question at all. Then obviously no one would argue he has to do another bedika to find that piece of chametz. The status of the house has changed from a bayis baduk to a bayis sheyesh bo chametz. But now he went ahead, he did exactly what he has to do, and guess what? He didn't find the chametz. This doesn't bode well for him, right? This is not a happy day, because he finally put all his effort in for a second bedika. Bad enough one bedika. Now a second bedika. Rabotai, a second bedika. And he doesn't find the piece of chametz. Says the Gemara, Plugta de Rabbi Meir v'Rabbanon. We're going back to the laws of Tumah V'Tahara. And we're going to find a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbanon. And the Rabbi Meir is very machmir. This man, we have a Mishnah in Masechta Bechoros, and the Mishnah says, "Hoya Rabbi Meir Omer called Davar Shebechezkas Tuma." If we know that the Tuma went in there, Li Olam Hu Bitumaso, it remains in the state of Tuma. Ashi Vadalecha HaTuma Hechanhi, until you finally locate the Tuma. So in other words, let's say, for example, there was a dead body that came into this place, and now you look for the body and you don't find it. Rabbi Meir says, continue looking. You got to find it. Until you find it, the place is tame, and you didn't find it. In other words, Rabbi Meir has zero sympathy for a person who checked and didn't find it. Once it has a cheskes tumah, in other words, the certainty is that the tumah went in there, then find the tumah. If you can't find it, then it's tameh. Oh, v'chachomim omrim, chachomim say no. Bodek ad shemagil l'sela o l'karka besula. Check as best as you can until you get to the point in which there's no more point to check. Meaning, you get to the point where nothing else could have been on earth, so to speak. The earth now doesn't lend itself to what's called chafira, to turn it upside down and inside out. So you have, let's say, for example, what's called a gal shel shalavonim. You have a pile of stones, and you know that unfortunately they crushed a body, and some bones got mixed up in this in this pile of stones. So what you do is you do a bedika and you check thoroughly until you get to the point where it couldn't have gone even further. In other words, you get to what's called karka basul, like you get to rock bottom, or you get to the point where you see ground that was never touched before. It's karka basula, meaning it's in its natural form. So you've now exhausted your entire possibility of bedika. So what happened to these bones? Where did they go? Did they just dissipate? Did they fly up to the heavens like Yechezkel's dried bones? Like, what happened over here? And the answer is, we're going to assume that an animal came and took away the bones. Or we're going to assume that a raven came from heaven, flew down, swooped down. They love corpses and dead body parts, and took one of them. And therefore, you did what you have to do, say the Chachamim. You exhausted your obligation of bedika. And that's the end. Finitos. Fartigamaisa. Let's close shop. You did your bedika. You didn't find it. We have to assume that the tumor that went in there somehow is no longer there. Says the Gemara. In chametz, the same thing is. You saw the chametz go in. According to the Chachamim, do your bedika again. You do an exhaustive bedika. You don't find it. We're going to assume the animal may have eaten it, or whatever happened to it, it happened to it. Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, says that you're going to have to go to all ends of the world, do another bedika, and if this didn't succeed, then you have to assume the chametz is still there. And here we're going to have a whole discussion. So what do you mean you assume the chametz is still there? So what do? You did a bedika. What am I going to check out of my house? Maybe somebody will invite me to Lakewood for Shabbat for Yom Tov. I don't know. What am I going to do? But in any event, Rashi comes up with a chiddush. And again, this is not Rashi's chiddush. This is Rashi who's consistent. Take a look at Rashi, Dibra Masav Rachamim Mitamim, which is the last of the skinny lines. And Rashi says, Havalek Sofik Tum Mishusay Yochid. The Rachamim say that this should be Tameh. Says Rashi, V'gabi Batim, I'm fast forwarding to the third of the wide lines, Afilu Rabbanan Modu, the Kevin Dikas Chametz to Rabbanan, Talina Lakula. Rashi says again, the second time around, that although there are those who want to be Machmir, but in the case of Bedikas Chometz, he already did his what, Rabos, everybody? He did his Bittul, and that reduces his Chi of Bedika from a Doraisa down to a Drabbanan. We can say, Sofik Drabbanan Lakula. So take a look at Tosfos. All Ubadak Velo Ashkach, he knows that the Chometz went in. He does another bedika, the poor guy, and he still doesn't find it. Is plugged to the Rabbi Meir v'Rabbanan. What should he do in this case? I mean, he did what he had to do. He did a second bedika, and he still can't find it. So what do we do in such a case? Maybe it means he has to do a third bedika, maybe a fourth bedika. The guy's going to spend the rest of his life doing a bedika. I mean, like, give it a break. Tema filu Rav Meir diomar li olam hi becheskes tuma. That once you know that there were atzomos, there were bones in this gal, in this pile of stones, then the Rav Meir says you have to check it and find it. You know, no sympathy here. You got to keep going and find it. And therefore, let's say, for example, Truma came in contact with this Gal Shel Avanim. Rabbi Meir says the Truma has to be considered as Truma Tmeya because he knows that there were body parts in this Gal Shel Avanim and he didn't find it. It's Hacha. Here, Gabi Bedika. Kevan Shebodak Velo Motza. Mayase. What does he do? Does he lock up his house and live elsewhere? He's living in the streets for Pesach. Well, what do you want from him? You know, you want to know about this Gal Shel Avonim. So Rav Meir says the Gal Shel Avonim remains Cheskes Tumo, and make sure that nothing holy should come in contact with this Gal Shel Atzomos. You didn't find the Atzomos yet. That's okay, you can live with that. But how are you going to live with a situation where there's Chometz in the house, you can't find the Chometz, you did an absolute great Bedika, and Rabbi Meir says, no, the Chometz, we still have a Cheskas Chometz. The premise is that the Chometz is still in the house. The Imyitz Tarchu lived on Pam Shnia, and let's say we ask him to do another, I don't know why he calls it Pam Shnia, I think we're up to Pam Shlishis already, but it means, you know, not only the Shnia, you know, not only the repeat performance, but now he asks him again to do it, is Lo Yimtza. I mean, if he didn't find it last time, why do you assume he's going to find it again? So Rashi, Pirish Rashi, says, Dafilu Rabbi Meir Di Omar, Amor Achber Achlete. Even Rabbi Meir, who says that once you know that there were atzamos in this gal, you have to assume until you find it that there are this tumah in the gal. But here, in the case of a house where the achber went in, even Rabbi Meir would agree that we could assume after the second bedika that what happened to the chametz. The Akbar ate up the chametz. The Akbar brought it in, the Akbar ate it out. Well, why would Rav Meir say such a thing? I mean, we established in Tumah that once the Tumah went in, and the Chazok is now that it has Tumah, you got to find it. So why not assume the same thing as far as the Akbar, the chametz that went into the house? And the answer is, says Rashi, because B'dikas chametz eino ela midrabanan. That even Rabbi Meir would agree that in the case of Bedikas Chametz, we could be Tol Elakula because it's a Safik Drabbanon, and we could assume that the animal that brought in the Chametz ate the Chametz. Vekasha says Tos, I can't accept Rashi. The Beheja Omar, the Gemara says explicitly, Pluta de Rabbi Meir for Rabbanon. And here, by the way, Rashi doesn't reject that Girsa. Rashi also has the Girsa of Pluta de Rabbi Meir for Rabbanon, meaning that our question of an animal that went into the house with chametz, and now I did a repeat performance of Bedikin, I can't find the chametz, is dependent upon a machlok shim Rav Meir lechachamim. V'yesh lomer demayri b'shalo bitla. What is the Gemara establishing here? We have a suffek d'oraisa in our case. He did not do bitl. And now the Gemara is saying that according to Rabbi Meir, we're not going to assume that the animal ate up the chametz until you find it. Ka'amar de Rabbi Meir lo sagi bibedika. You cannot rely on bedika. Kevan de lo ashkach v'havi suffik lav. This is a suffik of violation of the lav of lo yimotze. V'tzarech levaklo. And he has to make bitul. V'sagi afilu Rabbi Meir. Notice the whole thrust of the Gemara is that since he didn't do bitul, what should we say according to Rabbi Meir? And the answer is enochinami according to Rabbi Meir. He has to assume the chametz is still there, and he has to do bitul. So the ganze business here, the whole machlokas here between Rav Meir and Chachomim as it pertains to Bedika is whether or not we impose upon him a chiv bittel. Shkoyach, like, you know, big deal. How long, how much of an effort does it take to do bittel? I just say, call Chavir Dika Bershusi the bottle every after Hefka Kafir Diara. Shkoyach is one sentence, that's all we're pushing for. The whole sugya just revolves around this one issue of whether or not he's chayv in bittel. Now, Tosus assumes that once he does bittul, then we reduce bedika down to a drabbanon, and now we're going to apply Rashi's logic that suffik drabbanon lekula. And even Rav Meir would say he's allowed to live in his house over Pesach; he doesn't have to check out and move to Lakewood. The law hayri ela b'suffik tumidoraisa amal hecha debdikas chom amal hocha debdikas chom to drabbanon after he makes bittul shari. So, in other words, the whole machlokas here between Rashi and Tosis boils down to the following. Rashi understood in the Hava Mina, the Gemara knew up front that we're dealing with a case of post-Bittul, and therefore Bedikah is only Drabbanah. And the Gemara never meant seriously to say that according to Rabbi Meir, we're going to assume the Chametz is there and do one Bedikah after another Bedikah until finally you jump off a roof because of all the Bedikahs, you know, you can't take it. No, says Rashi, we're talking after Bittul. And if we're talking after Bittul, even Rabbi Meir would agree that Talina and Lekulu, we can assume that the Achbar ate up the Chametz, and that's it. Tosis is saying no, that since there was no Bittul, the Gemara thinks that according to Rabbi Meir, we're in deep trouble here, because since Rabbi Meir holds you didn't find the body part, so in this case you didn't find the Chametz, it's still there, and if it's still there, you're in trouble. So what's your solution to the problem? Just do bittul. So at the end of the day, the maskana of Tosfos is really the havmin of Rashi, so to speak. In other words, Rashi is operating with the same frame of reference as Tosfos lemaskana.
According to Rashi, what's the difference between Rav Chachom and Rav Meir?
Well, in the Oraisa or in
no, in the Rabbanan. What's the difference once it comes to this?
Did bittul already?
What's Rashi then? How's Rashi understand the Gemara then? That there's a machlokas between.
We don't know.
Okay.
We don't have a solution to that, because in the previous sugya we said, when we got to the sugya Bika, that Rashi did not have that line in the Gemara, Ubi plug to the Rablaz Rabbana. Are we going to have to say again that Rashi is going to take out the Girsa? We don't know that Rashi took out the Girsa in this case, and if he had the same text that we have, it says plug to the Rab Meir Rabbana. According to Rashi, even Rab Meir agrees that you're okay, because Talina Lakula, once he did the Bittul, it's only because comes to Rabbana. So that remains an outstanding question. But I'm just pointing. I'm just pointing out one last thing, that according to Tosus, there was a bepluta de Rabbeir of Rabbanon, meaning, according to Rabbeir, if he doesn't find the chametz on the second bedikah, we're in trouble. But what's the whole, you know, where do we push the guy? What's the whole pressure here is to do bittul. David?
You mentioned a few minutes ago that the Rabbanon held that the bittul wasn't foolproof in his heart. So if that's the case, if it's suspect, what does it matter if we do a bittul before or after? Doing bittul is not foolproof. That
Saying is the Rabbanon felt, although the Torah was very secure with bittul and relied on bittul, the Rabbanon did not rely on bittul because of your explanation. But that's only a chiyuv de Rabbanon. So the Rabbanon said, what's the solution if we don't want to rely totally on bittul? We're going to ask you to do bedikah. If the bedikah doesn't work, then we're in trouble. But if the bedikah is a suffix, that maybe it did work, maybe your bedikah was absolutely thorough, where did the chametz, it flew up to the heavens, meaning the animal ate the chametz, then the Rabbanon are going to say, talina lakula. Meaning you don't know, did the animal eat the chametz or not eat the chametz? If it didn't eat the chametz, how come I don't find it? Oh, you didn't do a good bedikah, that's why you don't find it. No. What we're going to say is, if you didn't find it, and you did a good bedikah, the animal probably ate the chametz. Yes.
So the Rabbanon say you don't have to do bittul if you did a good bedikah.
No, wait a minute. Are we going according to... We're going... Wait a second. Yeah, Steve is right. According to the Chachamim, Tosus would say you don't need to do bittul. Why? Because the Chachamim are makil and rely on bedik even on a Doraisa level. And they're going to say, if you didn't find those bones in the Gal Shel Avonim, just do the best bedik you can up to the Sela Karka or this. And we're going to assume that the atzamas are no longer there. In the case of bedikas chametz, even if you didn't do bittul, we're going to rely on your bedika, and we're going to assume that the animal ate the chametz. Again, what would be so terrible if the rabbanon would require bittul? I don't know. You know, that's the disappointing piece of this puzzle over here. But I found something interesting here. I messed up over here. You see, God's paying me back for being stingy on the.
Do you want another
plastic cup? Where's the plastic cup? It's on the floor. I'm more worried about my Gemara than the plastic cup. That's honest with you. You know, tea stains are kind of permanent in nature. Okay. So now, what did I want to show you here in the back? You know, this is called the Yalkut HaBiurim, which I use very often. And he says the following. All ubadak, where are we up to? Just 1 second. All ubadak v'lo ashkach. Okay? So according to Rashi, the Gemara doesn't really mean that this depends on the machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, because even Rabbi Meir would agree that we could assume the achbar ate the chametz, because bedikah is only derabbanan. So Tosus asks, so what is this line in the Gemara? Beplugte to Rabbi Meir for Rabbanan. The Gemara says explicitly it depends on Rabbi Meir and Chachamim. And therefore they assume, Tosus, that we're talking on a Doraisa level, there was no bittul, and therefore it really depends on the Machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Chachamim. Can we rely on Bedika when he does a repeat Bedika? He says, Lamaisa, lo nechleku Rashi v'tos ele bepirish ha-Gemara. Shrashi refers to bittul, that he did bittul. Tosus below bittul. Avolidina, is that cardiology or what? Avolidina, Shneem Shavim. Both Rashi and Tos come to the same conclusion. Namely, the facts on the ground are the same. In Bittel, Ein Sarach Livdok. Why? Because we're going to assume that the animal ate the chametz. In Lo Bittel, Machlokes Rabbi Meir v'Chachamim. And therefore, Halacha kechachamim, and therefore tzarich levate. So it seems to me that
Halacha chachamim would need to be told.
I'm sorry. Halacha kechachamim. Then he writes, "Venechku marshalu marsha im lechachamim tzarich levate."
Yeah, because
we said that he doesn't need bittul.
Right.
So I don't know. He says machlokes marsha. I didn't get a chance to see the marsha and marshal. So basically, what we see here in the Yalkut HaBiurim is more or less the conclusion that we came to, that once he does bittul, we're both Rashi and Tosfos back to the same place. That meaning, once he does bittul, we have a suffix derabanan, and then we can say talina l'klu. Wait, just 1 second. Something occurred to my mind here. I have to clarify something. What is this? Just one second. Let me just see this one more time. Plutid Rabbi Meir Rabban Destan Hoy Rabbi Meir Ome Kol Tovish Becheskes Tuma Liom Tuma Sashi Vodalecho Tuma Heichon He.
Oh, yeah, so I just want to point out something. I mean, even the Rabbanon who are Mekil in the case of all Ubarak Velo Ashkach, that's only because he did a second Bedika. Do you follow what I'm saying? In other words, just one second, is that so what I just told you? Let me see. That's the coin to admit. Chachomim omrim bodek ad shemagia lesela o lekarka besula.
The second.
Wait, Osher, give me a second. I'm so sorry. I got confused here. Im chite le'inyin chomets. Yeah, I think what we're saying here, tell me, Osher, if you agree, is that he did a second bedika. Why? Because he saw the chametz go in. And his bedika was a thorough bedika, which could be parallel, which could be equal to, in the case of Gal Shel at Somos, Borig Ad Sheyodo, Ad Sheyodo Magas, Ad Shesela, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, if you hold that he had to do a bedika in this place first time round, if you hold it.
Yeah, because he saw the animal go
in
the car.
Before he saw the animal. Before he saw the animal, he did the bedika.
Right.
So if he did the bedika then for sure he has to do it again when he saw the animal.
Correct. Exactly. That's it. I just got confused about that, but you know, I caught myself in the middle of a sentence here. I got confused because maybe the machlokas here between Rabbi Meir and the Chacham is whether or not he needs another bedika. But the answer is that even Rabbanu would say he needs another bedika because now the chometz is in the house.
Yeah.
And the answer is that the second bedika will confirm that the chometz is no longer in the house.
Okay.
And that's according to Chacham. Now what would Rabbi Meir say? So it works like this. According to Rashi, Rabbi Meir would say since he did a second bedika, that confirms that there's no chometz in the house, even according to Rabbi Meir, and he agrees with the Chacham, and that's because bedikas Rabbanu did bittul. According to Tosfos, there was no bittul, and therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, the fact that he did a second bedika would not be reliable. You got to find the chometz. We're not going to assume that the chometz evaporated, but says Tosfos. So what should he do? He does bittul. And once he does bittul, we're going to assume that the chametz of that. Okay, next. Alu barak v'yashkach. Okay, he saw the chametz go in, he did a bdika, and he found chametz. What would you say, Rabbi Osai?
Great.
Yesh sivah l'mesivah. It's a cause for celebration, right? He found the chametz. No. How do you know it's the same piece of chametz? Right? Now the Maram Chalava, if you heard of him anyway, I'm not going to go into detail who he was right now. He says that midway through his bedika, he finds a piece of chametz. At that point, if he assumes that that's the exact piece of chametz that was taken in by the achbar, then he can he can close shop. He doesn't have to complete his bedika. Plukta de Rebbe. The Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, and again, we're going to have a lot of trouble according to Rashi because the language of the Gemara indicates that this is an issue. And according to Rashi, since he made bittul, it's only the Rabbanon, and therefore, it should not depend upon any machlokas. We should always say talina lekula, and we assume that this is the same piece that the one that he found is the same that the achbar took in. We know that somewhere in the field there was a kever that was buried here. Okay, let's just see Rashi. One second, I thought there was a Rashi here. Yeah, Avad Ba Kever, this is the third of the wide lines. Rashi says, Ein Yadua Heichan Makoma. So we don't know exactly where that's why we have what's called Tzion Kvaros. But there was no Tzion Kever. We know that somewhere in this vicinity, in this field, there is a body that's buried. It's HaNichnas L'Tocha Tomei. There's no doubt about it. Once he enters into the Rishus HaYochid here, to this Sodeh, Again, it's not like the previous discussion that we had where he didn't necessarily go in, but here he went in. And we therefore have to be choshish that maybe perhaps he was mahil ala kever. Nimtza ba kever. Oh, finally they find the kever. Oh, but you know what? The kever doesn't have a name on it. You follow what I mean? Hanichnas letocha. Now we get to the sheet of Rebbe. Rebbe says hanichnas letocha toil. It means that Rebbe assumes that if you find the kever, you assume that's the kever that was lost. We don't have to assume that there was another kever.
Right.
Shani Omer, according to Rebbe, kever shavaru kever shenimtza. And that's good. So then in the case of chametz, certainly if I find a piece of chametz, I assume that that's the chametz that the achbar brought into the house. But Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, you found the kever, you're not in the clear. Tibadei kol ha-sada kula. You got to check out the entire field. And why is that? Because we're not sure that the kever that you find, that you actually found, is the only kever there. It's the kever that got lost. Maybe there's another kever. There may be two kvarim in the same sada. You know, maybe they designated that sada as a cemetery. Oh, so now if we apply this to bedikas chametz, and here again we're going to have Rashi and Tosfos. So then if it works like this. If there was no bittul, and now you have a suffix d'oraisa of Bal Yerah Bayimotze, and you don't know if the piece of chametz that you found now is identical with the piece of chametz that was taken in, then on a d'oraisa level, if you accept the shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says tibadei kol ha-sada kula, meaning that Rav Shimon Gamliel raises the serious possibility that there's another kever. Here also, we have to raise the serious possibility that there's another piece of what?
Of chametz.
And therefore, you can't stop midway, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel. Say, well, I found the chametz. You know, close shop. I completed my bedika. I'm going to have to continue my bedika. And what do I have to do? I have to guarantee myself that there's no other chametz in the house. Because maybe the chametz that I found now is not the chametz that went in.
Right.
Right. But I'm going to add another point here, and I hope you agree with me, that even according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, when he continues his bedika and he finally finishes his bedika, then he doesn't have to go beyond that. That would fulfill all his requirements. What am I trying to say? We're not going to go back to Rabbi Meir over here in the previous Gemara of Barak v'lo Ashkach. If you remember, the Rabbi Meir says that till you find. Rav Shimon Gamliel is only raising the possibility that maybe there's another piece of chametz. He's not saying that we have a chazaka that there's another piece of chametz.
Right.
You know? Because otherwise we're really in trouble. Imagine if we combined, this would be like double jeopardy here. You know, imagine if we combined Rav Shimon Gamliel together with Rabbi Meir. Wow, that would really be a headache. Imagine, he finds a piece of chametz. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, well, that's not the piece of chametz that was taken in by the achbar. So there's another piece of chametz. Well, he checked the house, he didn't find the other piece of chametz. So now we go back to Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir says, when you know there's chametz there, we're not going to rely on your bedikah, because we're going to assume the chametz is still there. We're really in deep trouble. So I'm just saying, no, Rabbi Meir only said that we're not going to rely on your bedikah because we know this chametz. In this case, you found the chametz. It's just Rav Shimon Gamliel is worried, and it's a serious possibility in Rav Shimon Gamliel's mind that there's another piece of kever over there. But we don't know that there's another kever over there, so we would not apply Rabbi Meir. Okay, that yes. Now all this is if there was no bittul, and if there was no bittul, we're dealing with the d'oraisa, and we equate it to tumah. But if, on the other hand, there was bittul, which means the whole chi of bedik is only derabanan, is everyone would agree that even Rav Shimon Gamliel, that if he found a piece of chametz, we can assume that that's the chametz that went in, and he doesn't have to complete his bedik. Now, again, we're in trouble here with Rashi, because Rashi assumes that the entire sugya here, Daf Yud, is predicated on the assumption that he already did his bedikah. If he already did his bedikah, why does the Gemara say plukta the Rebbe Reb Shem Gamliel. Even Reb Shem Gamliel was worried about a kever, that maybe there's a second kever in that, so that's only because of Tumah Doraisa, but in the case of the Rabbanan, Talina Lekula. So we're going to have the same objection that we had before.
No, I don't see that. Rashi had... No, in this case, Rashi doesn't have a problem.
Why?
Because even though he did a bedika, you have actual chametz. You have to go back. You have to do
that. No, but you found the chametz, right? So now you're going to tell me, no, I still need bedika. Why? Because there's another piece of chametz. So why not say talina lekula? That this piece of chametz that I found is exactly the piece that went in.
But that's the machlokas.
No, but that's Rebbe. Only Reb Shimon Gamliel and Rebbe only argue on a Doraisa level. Right. But now that according to Rashi, we're dealing with the Drabbanan, we have a principle in Drabbanan Talina Lekula. No. Talina Lekula means, look, a chametz went. Look, I did a bedika. Now I know there's another piece of chametz that went in. I found a piece of chametz. Why not assume it's the same piece of chametz? So Reb Shimon Gamliel says, no, I'm nervous. Maybe there's another piece of chametz. Yeah, but that's only on a Doraisa level. But on a Drabbanan level, we have a principle called Talina Lekula.
So
once again, I think the same kasha that Tosus objects here in the case of Olu Badak V'lo Ashkach should apply now to the case of Olu Badak V'Ashkach. Why does the Gemara say Bepluta de Rebbe Rav Shimon Gamliel? Now in the footnote here, he quotes a Tzlach. The Tzlach is the note of Yehuda. I don't have access to the Tzlach. If there's any way someone could help me with that, I would appreciate it. He says that the Tzlach says something which I can't figure out. He says the following. Why didn't Rashi here in the sugya of Ol Ubadak V'Ashkach mention that Talina Lekula? And he says the following. Kan sheyesh vaday chometz bebayis. Yesh vaday chometz bebayis, shuv chayev midoraisa. What does that mean? I mean, if he did bittul, so why is he chayev midoraisa?
His bittul doesn't apply to something that he didn't. He only bevatel what he already had. It doesn't apply to new chometz. If I did bittul and you come in and bring me, you know.
Well, wait a second, Usher. What do we have in the previous Gemara? He saw an achbar go in. He checks out the house and he doesn't find it. And Rashi says that even according to Rabbi Meir, since cool. He does bittul, so again, when did he do bittul? I mean,
question: when did he do bittul?
Okay, but whatever your answer is, we have to be consistent. Rashi says that the bittul reduces it one notch from a doraisa down to a drabana, and therefore even Rabbi Meir, who says that you didn't find the bones, they're still there. Check, they're still there. Also in chametz, you didn't find the chametz. You know, it went into the house. Yeah, it's still there. Right? And Rashi says no. Rabbi Meir would say in such a case the chametz evaporated. Why? Because he did bittul. Now how that bittul operates, whether it's before the achbar went into the chametz, after, whatever it is, Rashi says it's only the rabbanan talina lekul. If we apply that here to the case of Olu Barak V'Ashkach, where he found a piece of chametz, then once again Rashi should be saying, and that's what we pointed out before the tzlach, that even Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says that maybe there's another kever, that's only on a deraisa level, he's choshish for the possibility that there's another kever, but he would agree that you don't have to assume there's another piece of chametz. You found the chametz, assume that's called Talina Lekula b'Rabbanan, says the Tzlach. But wait a minute, there was Vadei Chametz in the house. Okay, there was Vadei Chametz in the house, but we don't know if there's still Chametz in the house because he found a piece of Chametz. He did a repeat Bedika. Halfway through, he found a piece of Chametz. Why do I assume there's another piece of Chametz? Yeah, alright, that's good. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that, you found a kever, maybe there's another kever. Fine. But that's only on a Doraisa level. So he says, no. Here, Rashi would agree that since it's Vadei Chametz Bebayis, Shuv Chayev Midoraisa. Well, what does that mean? If there was Bittul, there's no Chayev Doraisa. I don't begin. That's why I say to you, if anyone can find this Tzlach for me, it's a commentary on Masechta Psachim. I'm sure we get access to it. But in the meantime, I don't have the Tzlach. So I can't even begin to tell you what the Tzlach is talking about here. Now let me just take a look here if he adds anything. I'm pretty sure I did this already and I didn't find anything, but let's just do it again. Where am I? Oh. So we're talking about Ol Ubadak V'Ashkach, correct?
Yeah.
So he writes over here, let's see who he's quoting in the footnote.
Lamed Ches. Is that a Lamed Ches or a Lamed Hey? Just one second here. I think it's a Lamed Ches. Let's see if I'm right. Oh, he quotes the Bach. And the Bach is in turn quoted by the Mishnah Bura. So what does the Bach say? He says, Rashi v'tosis lo pirshu im hanidon bibitl o belo bitl umawadin. Says the Bach, let's read the Tur. The Tur says that im bitel ein tzarach livdok shuv. Right, because he found a piece of chometz, and we assume that this is the chometz that got lost. But in lo bitl yivdok shuv, he has to do another bedika. That's the statement of the Tur. And what's the beer of the Tur? Im lo bitl avisofeg de oraisa v'havik motuma v'toliv machlokas Rebbe v'shim gamliel. The kaimish halacha of Shem Gamliel is that we're not sure that this is the kever that got lost. There may be another kever here also. Yivdok shuv, aval in bitel kaven shuvak chiv derabbanan eino tzarch livdok livdivrei hakol. So the Bach says exactly what we thought.
Well, maybe Rashi is saying you have to do bitel when you see the chometz go in. Do the bitel.
No, but I'm just saying, Rashi, you have to be consistent.
Well, maybe that's what he's saying before also. Maybe we say we assume that Rashi meant beetle before him. When did Rashi say? When did he do the beetle according to Rashi? Maybe he did a beetle. Maybe Rashi could understand Rashi. Rashi's svara is that you do beetle. You know, chometz went in there. Do beetle and then go do the bdika. Do the beetle right then, even though you did beetle before.
Right, but keep in mind that Rashi keeps insisting over and over again that if he did beetle, he doesn't need another bdika. That's Rashi's shita, Talina Lakul, that once he does bittul, he doesn't need to do
a second
of bittul.
He has to do, but I'm saying that you could look at Rashi and you could say, every time he sees the Achba go in with a piece of chametz, he goes in and he does a bittul, even now, he does a second bittul. I'm saying, that maybe
that's an interesting question. Would he need a second bittul? Let's say I grant you that he needs a second bittul.
So once he does a second bittul, then Safi the Rabbanu Lakula. You did a bedika, you didn't find it. Safi the Rabbanu Lakula. No problem.
So why does that Bach say that in this case he would definitely have to do another bedika? Why does he have to do another bedika? Why not just do bittel? I don't get it.
No, he did it. He has to do another bedika. He did bittel, then he has to do bedika. Because once you know there's a vadai, there's chametz going in there. Once you go
right, but again, in the previous case, there was also vadai chametz, right?
He found it.
Adarabba, you know what I would say? This case a lot more lenient than the other case, like a kal v'chomer. In the first case, you saw chametz going in. Maybe the animal ate the chametz. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. But in the second case, he found a piece of chametz. Ribono Shalom. I mean, you know, Reb Shimon Gamliel says, "Well, maybe there's another piece of chametz."
Also, you've done one bedika. The house is clear.
Right.
Therefore, the piece of chametz that you now find. It's pretty certain that's going to be the piece of chometz where did it come from otherwise, if not from the mouse?
Right.
You've already done the particular ones. So why, you know, it's good reason to be lenient.
But you know, something interesting occurred to me. Let's say I did a bedika in my house and my wife didn't realize it, or some other member of my family was unaware of it, and they went ahead and did a second bedika, which is totally unnecessary. And they found a piece of chametz. Again, that doesn't do well for my reputation, right? Yeah. It doesn't shine well. Oh, now what would be in this case where they found the second piece of chametz? It would seem to me that according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, you would have to do a third bedika. But you know, sometimes you should let well enough go by. It'll be alone. Yeah, had they left alone the situation, they would have been happy with the first bedika. But somebody decided they were unaware, whatever, and they did a second bedika. And lo and behold, they found a piece of chametz. Reb Shimon Gamliel would say, "Hey, you know what? You found one piece of chametz. It means some achbar or something brought in chametz. Maybe there's another piece of chametz there." Okay, l'maisa you would do bittul, and then everybody would agree that you're l'chora, that you're okay. But I'm just saying, it would be really interesting if a third bedika would be necessary because of the second bedika, if there was no bittul, according to Reb Shimon Gamliel. Next, he niach teisha umatza yud. This really arouses my curiosity. With an extra piece, fine. In other words, I know that I put away 9 pieces, and now all of a sudden I find a 10th piece. Do I assume, A, that 10th piece was added, but the original 9 that I put there are there? Or should I assume this is a whole new bag, you know, a whole new ball game? The other 10 pieces, the other 9 pieces that I put away are no longer to be found. And now I have to assume that there's a whole new group of 10 pieces. And now
And now it's not enough for me to find that extra 10th piece. I gotta find that 10 pieces. Says the Gemara, Plukta de Rebbe v'Rabbanan. We have a machlokas between Rebbe and Rabbanan de Sanya. He niach mono. Now mono is equal to 100 zuz. And we're talking about most of Maisa Sheni. And most of Maisa Sheni, there are very strict laws about what you're allowed to do with it. It's not chulin, it's got kedushas, Maisa Sheni. Now Motza Masayim, he put away 100 and he finds 200. What do we do? Are we going to assume that there's an extra there's an extra 100 that was added, and that extra 100 we have no reason to assume is Maisa Sheni, we assume it's Chulin? Or do we say no, that I can even go beyond that, I can say the Maisa Sheni money was taken away and he now replaced it with 200 zuz of Chulin, and he doesn't even have to worry about half of the money, about 100 zuz as being Maisa Sheni? Comes along Rebbe, and Rebbe says that we have to be machmir here. Chulin u'maser sheni u'ravim zebazeh. And the truth is, this is intuitively correct. Let's assume that he added another 100. So the other 100 is chulin. We have no reason to assume otherwise. But as far as the original 100, that's there. We know it was maser sheni. He now has a mixture of 100 out of 200 zuz in Maisa Sheni. Now, what do you do in such a case? Well, you don't know where the Maisa Sheni is, there's a whole Tarovis. So you have to do what's called Chilul. Chilul means you have to transfer the Kedusha from the 100 zuz of Maisa Sheni over to another 100 zuz that you place on the table, and they become Kadosh B'Kedushas Maisa Sheni. But in any event, Rebbe, by applying the intuitive response that he added 100, is now going to be machmir, because he's going to assume that the original 100, which were Maisa Sheni, are still there in the pile. We can't identify them. We have to do a chilul because it's chulin u'maisa sheni mu'ravim sebezav chachomim omrim hakol chulin. We assume that this is a whole new pile. Whatever he had originally with Maisa Sheni, that was taken away. Where did it go? I don't know. But that's not my problem. I have to know what to do with these 200. And I have a right to assume that these 200 are chulin. I have no reason to assume otherwise. If I grant you, and the Chacham grant you, that the original 100 zuz was removed. In other words, do we see the 200 zuz as a new entity? It's not 100 plus an additional 100, and that would be the shita of Chachamim. The 200 zuz is a new entity, and therefore it's all chulin. Or should we take the approach of, you know what? The original 100 are still there. What we have in front of us is not a brand new entity, and the old entity is gone. But rather, it's 100 plus another 100. Now let's apply this to chametz. He had 9 pieces of chametz, and now he finds 10. Do we assume that one piece of chametz was added, but now he just has to find an extra piece of chametz above and beyond the 9, and now he has all 10, and therefore he doesn't need a bedikah if he can find that 1/10 piece? Or should we say like the Chachamim, that the Chachamim say that the original 100 zuz of Maisa Sheni is gone, and in that particular scenario, the Chachamim would be Mekil, because if the original Maisa Sheni is gone, then we have 200 zuz of Chulin. But here, in the case of Chametz, if we're going to be Choshish that the original 9 are gone, then how many does he have to find, Rebosa?
9.
9 plus the 1. In other words, it's not enough the 1, you have to find the other 9 as well. So again, one approach would say, just find the 10th. Why? Because the original 9, that's what you have in front of you. Go find the 10th, and now you have 9 plus 1 is 10, you're okay. And that would be reflective of the Shita of Rebbe. Because Rebbe is Machmir, and he assumes that what you had before, meaning the Maisa Sheni, you still have now. And that's called Chulinu Maisa Sheni Muravim Sebezeh. But if we apply Rebbe's Shita to the case of Bedikas Chametz, then we end up with a kula. That according to Rebbe, the 9 that he left there are still there. And now he has to find one last piece. Just find that one last piece. And exactly, that was the case that we dealt with. He niyat tesu matzah yud. So he has the 10th piece. So in effect, according to Rebbe, since the 10th piece was added and he has the 10th piece in front of him, there's no need to do Bedikah. There's no reason, according to Rebbe, to assume that these 9 pieces or any of them were brought into... I'm sorry. There's no... Let's go according to Chachamim. But according to... according to the Chachamim who say Hakol Chulin, which means that the original pile of Maisa Sheni was gone, was removed. Here too, we're going to have to assume that the original nine pieces are gone, which means that a Chulda came along and took them into the house. Let's assume a Chulda usually has its hiding place in the house. So the Chulda would have taken those nine pieces, go into the house. So now you're going to have to be bodek. In fact, it would seem to me that according to the Chachamim, even if he does a bdika, it's not necessarily clear that he's okay, because he's going to have to find nine pieces. He had nine pieces that are no longer there. He's got to find them. He's got to, Sherlock Holmes, he's got to discover where did these nine pieces land? And if he doesn't find nine pieces, let's say he goes into the house and he finds after his bdika eight pieces, there's one piece that's still on the missing list, he's not out in the clear. Wow. Okay, Rabbo said, what time is it? We have another 2 minutes. Let's see if we can just hop around the flip side. Hiniach yudu matza teisha. So the truth is that, Lachara, this is the same machlokas again between Rebbe and the Chachamim. He put down 10 pieces, he only finds 9. So according to the Shita of the Chachamim, since the number changed, we have to assume the original 10 are gone. You know, we're really in trouble here. But according to Rebbe, we could assume, according to, what was the first sheet, was Rebbe, right? According to the Chachamim, we have to, right? The Chacham would say the original group is gone. Right. So now you have to find, you know, the 10th piece, right? Where's the 10th piece? So Gemara says, Hainu Sefer. Tisanya, Hiniach Masayim, he left 200 of Maisa Sheni Matzah Mana, now he only finds half of it. It's according to Rebbe, that Rebbe said in the Reisha, was Chulin Umasa Sheni Muravim Zebazez, Mana Munach, Umana Mutal, Divrei Rabbi Meir. In other words, he took away 100, but he's left with the original 100 that was still there, because Rebbe Lashitas is very consistent that we always assume even if there's a change in the number, we assume the original number is still there. So here too, we're going to assume that from the Masayim that he put down originally, the original Mana is still there, and that has to be treated as Maisa Sheni. V'chachomim omrim akol chulin. According to Chachomim, we assume that everything was taken, and we're looking at a whole new bunch, and therefore everything is chulin. So the Chacham could be mekel. Now let's apply this to chametz. He left 10 pieces, and now he finds 10. Nine. I'm sorry. According to Rebbe, we assume that these are the original 9, and he's only missing one. So all he has to do is find one piece. According to Chachamim, we assume that the whole batch was gone, and now the Chuldas took the original 10 pieces and took them into the house. We have to find those 10 pieces. So it's according to Rebbe, all I have to do is find one piece, and then I'm okay. According to Chachamim, we're going to have to find all 10, because the original pile is gone. And again, Rabbo say, to reiterate what we said over and over again, according to both Rashi and Tosfos, if he does bittul, and then we reduce it to a drabanan, then we can say talina lekula, and we could therefore agree that even the chachamim would be mekil here. And therefore, if we apply the kula of the chacham in two cases, number one, he niach tes umatza yud, that all he has to do is find that. All he has to do is find the 10th, which again is antithetical to the Chacham in the case of Maisa Sheni, right? Because according to Chacham and Maisa Sheni, we assume the whole pile is gone, and therefore he has to find the original 9 pieces. That's not true in the case of Chametz Derabanan after Bittul. And in the flip case of Hiniach Yud Umatza Teisha, then even though the Chachamim were Mekil in the case of Chulin, because they assume it's a whole new entity here, and therefore we should logically conclude that in the case of Chametz we have to be Machmir and we have to find all 10 pieces. But the answer is even the Chacham could agree in this case Talini Lekula if he already was Mevatel his Chametz. And that'll lead us in Yitzchem Shem tomorrow to Daf Yud Amud Beis. I wish everyone a great day.
see, did you want to ask me a question? No? You're okay?
I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah, he's good.
I mean, this is a sugi you have to go over and over again, but yeah. I think we got the basic guidelines of the sugi.